Hey, everybody, this is Matthew Soltysiak, and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions Podcast, part of the Minute Media Podcast Network. This season, it's all grit. I speak with a variety of guests and interview key players, gaining more insight on what makes this team go. The Detroit Lions are now in a new, grittier era, and we look beyond just the kneecap when it comes to the analysis. Welcome to another episode. In this episode, we preview the Detroit Lions season opening matchup with the Los Angeles Rams. LA Rams play-by-play J.B. Long joins us to give us a firsthand account of how the Rams have looked this offseason and what we can expect when these teams go to battle. We'll also talk a little history between the two franchises. And then, of course, we're going to look at what we're expecting from the Lions in this season opener. Let's get to it, Lions fans.
This is James Williams, and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions Podcast.
Joining me today, as usual, we have James Cook, senior sports writer for the Traverse City Record Eagle. You can also hear him on his podcast, The Get Around, that drops on Mondays. James, good to have you here. I can't believe it's game week.
I'm excited for exactly that. And thanks for having me on here.
Oh, yeah, always. And joining us is our esteemed coach, Jerry Angers, named Michigan High School Coach of the Year, as well as Coach of the Week by the Detroit Lions. He's mentored numerous players to the college level and some all the way to that elite NFL level as well. Coach, great to have you here.
Oh, great to be here. Game week. Gotta love it.
So, guys, it is about that time. We've looked at the roster. We did the season preview. Now we're talking about the opening game with the Rams, Sunday Night Football, national audience. Before we get started, though, we've talked about it. We need to send a big thank you out to our listeners. You know, this show has been downloaded in more than 55 countries around the world, which means either one person's traveling a lot, or there's just a lot of NFL fans and Detroit Lions fans around the world. So that is impressive. But, you know, going to training camp, we got shout outs. Well, Coach got a shout out. Let's be specific there. You know, someone's like, love Coach. So tons of great comments on social media and YouTube. So we just want to say thank you. Thank you very much for the appreciation and for listening.
No doubt about that. Thanks to everybody. And I, you know, the big thing is give us some feedback on what you're looking for. I think we got a pretty good mix here of talent. Well, two guys are talented. One may not be, but anyways. And I think we just, you know, the more feedback we get, the better we can bring in and the more research we can do.
I think I'm the not talented one, right? That's the way I'm just going to assume that myself, not as a dig at me or anything like that. I'm just going to be self-deprecating like that. Assume that you guys, but yeah, all these things, they don't happen without fans, without listeners, without, you know, then with me at the newspaper, without people who read the newspaper and all that stuff. And yeah, like Jerry said, getting feedback is great. Let people know, let us know what you like and what you don't.
Awesome. And James, I don't think you're the non-talented guy. I mean, you're pulling together all that information about the practice squad and the veterans and all that. So awesome to have both of you guys here with us. Listeners, thank you so much again for inviting us in to your ears while you're doing whatever it is you're doing, whether it's on a commute, whether it's doing yard work, whatever it is. Now it's time for some all-grit football. We have a special treat from the Rams to provide us a ton of insight on their team. J.B. Long is going to share his perspective on Jared Goff and the Detroit Lions. And then you're going to hear from the three of us, and we're going to bring it all together. So let's start with the interview with J.B. Long. Joining me is J.B. Long, the play-by-play radio voice for the Los Angeles Rams. You can also find more of his work when he's not calling games by checking out the Rams website for digital and written content. J.B., thanks for joining Not the Same Old Lions podcast today.
Hey, Matthew, good to connect with you. I sure did enjoy my trip to Detroit last January, though I wish the Rams had been on the winning end. I'm not at all surprised to be making the return visit for Sunday Night Football Week 1. I think it's the right way to go.
Yeah, I can only imagine your thoughts on the weather when you were there because the extreme temperatures we had. We'll get into that Rams-Lions game in the playoffs in just a moment. You kind of said it. this is quite the interesting way to open the season, right? It's going to be the third time in 4 years since the Stafford-Goff trade that these two teams are facing each other. And, of course, you know, both teams faced each other in the playoffs last year. And so it's not been a lot of time between the last time they saw each other. So I'm not sure how things are on your end, but I think a lot of Lions fans are ready to move on from this and just move forward and kind of let the narrative go. But we just can't, because the NFL is like forcing it on us, you know? They've got these two teams opening the season against each other in prime time. And so let me ask you, how are you and the Rams fans feeling about the Goff and Stafford trade and all the narrative that's gone along with it?
Well, if I can think back in time, I think my line last January was that trades can be win-win. And if there ever was one, this is surely it. But playoff games cannot. And that's kind of what played out, right? I mean, it was down to essentially the last play or the last decision, or the last conversion, however you want to frame it. And I thought both quarterbacks played really well. And part of the reason why, from Rams tinted lenses, I wanted the Rams to win in San Francisco in week 18, even though they were resting starters and saying, we got to go on the road and win a playoff game on wild card weekend, no matter what. But I wanted that trip to Detroit selfishly because I knew it would be the best NFL environment I've ever called a game in, surpassing the 2018 NFC Championship game at the Dome in New Orleans for me. And also because if the Rams won, my professional life would go on and that would be thrilling. And if they didn't, I hold Jared Goff in such high regard and find him so easy to root for to this day that at least I could stomach that and move into my offseason knowing that Jared was on a good path and in a good place. And I think the latter is how it played out. I think it's good to get it one more time. I think after this moment in time, we'll be able to play the rest of the Stafford, Goff, Rams, Lions days with this kind of being not a closed chapter, but as you hinted at, like, settled business, maybe.
That's a good way of putting it.
But because Stafford came back for a playoff game, because he was booed resoundingly, understandably, because I think these are two contenders again in the NFC in 2024, it's an appropriate place to start. That the first step forward for the 2024 Rams doubles as one last look back to Ford Field and what happened in January.
Well, yeah, the NFL realizes the importance of this game and what is there and all the stuff building up to it. So as much as I might not like it, it does make a lot of sense to start the season with it. Let's go back a little bit. You've kind of alluded to this already, so I think I have an idea where you're going to go with it. But you got to see Jared Goff play for multiple seasons in Los Angeles. What was your reaction when the trade happened?
Professionally, there was a part of me, Matthew, that thought I was going to call every snap of Jared Goff's career. Like, that was kind of the hope, the ambition, not just speaking selfishly, but collectively for the organization. And having covered his games at Cal, I would have thought that a very cool thing. Not that I in any way lament the way that it's gone. It's been just as good, but that's how unprepared, how flat-footed I was for that possibility. Even though I could also say out of the other side of my mouth that the writing pretty much was on the wall because of some of how that season prior, really the two seasons prior, had gone, where some of what had unified the Rams and McVay and Goff and that partnership and made it so successful was starting to reach a fork in the road. Not to say that they couldn't have figured out a way to move into that next season of partnership if that had been the direction they had gone, but just that you could see why the Rams would be motivated to once again go into that that all-in mentality that was labeled from the outside and make another tectonic move to try and maximize what was left of Aaron Donald's prime. And as we now can see in retrospect, that prime was quickly running out, and so I understand why the Rams wanted to do everything possible while they had the greatest defensive player on the planet, even if it was unprecedented in NFL history, to give it a go.
That makes a lot of sense. Rams fans in general, were they excited about this trade? Were they optimistic, or were they bummed out that Jared Goff was leaving? Like you said, that last year and a half or so, there was a change in the dynamic with McVay and the coaching staff towards Goff and him even getting benched at one point. What are your thoughts on that, or the Rams fans' perspective?
Yeah, my memory will probably be imperfect, though. When it comes to fan reaction, the safest recollection is always there was mixed reaction, right? I think there were some people that saw it as maybe giving up on a guy who had taken you to a Super Bowl too soon. And there were others who were saying, my goodness, Matthew Stafford is one of the five most unique arm talents in the universe. To pair him with Sean McVay is going to get the Rams to unlock this next tier of their offense, which we didn't even think was possible. The price point is what made it such a big deal, right? It's not that the teams had exchanged former number one picks at quarterback, though even that was significant. But that the fact that the Rams were willing to, quote unquote, further mortgage their future to make this happen in the here and now, was a uniquely Rams move. Now, since some teams have tried to copy that, I think the Rams have inspired other moves, especially at the quarterback position in the NFL, which is not where we're going with this conversation, but you know what I mean? And then just one other thing that I would add to it, and that is the unique element that is Brad Holmes. To have someone so closely affiliated with the Rams organization, with the pick of Jared Goff, with the development of Jared Goff, to be on the other end of that negotiation, it's probably too much to say it'll never happen again, but I feel comfortable saying that there won't be another parallel in our lifetimes that will match what happened between the Lions and the Rams that fateful day.
Well, yeah, Brad Holmes definitely played a pivotal element or a key element in that whole thing coming together, because you don't make that type of a trade unless you really believe that much in a quarterback. And the only way you're going to understand that much about a quarterback is if you have firsthand accounts with him, which Brad Holmes did from his time with the Rams. So let me ask you, are you surprised by the success of Jared Goff in Detroit? Now, a lot of national media, it seems like that's the crazy story and whatnot, but you've already kind of alluded to the fact that you already kind of were a fan of him to begin with. Yeah. Even though some things didn't go well towards the end, were you surprised by the rebound or the success that he's ultimately achieved?
I would say no, in that the one thing I know about Jared is he never has and he never will get enough credit for being resilient and being a program builder. He did it at Cal. He did it early with the Rams. He's now done it in Detroit. And because, you know, he comes across as like this all-American California kid who's had some great privileges in life. Like, he's not a hard knock story necessarily, but yet when you look at what he's done in certain contexts, I think he's a great bet in that regard. And so not someone that I would have written off, you know, what's still in his 20s at that stage of his career as a former 1-1 quarterback. But I could also say, am I surprised based on how it started that the Lions, especially given their recent organizational history, were willing to and able to build around him and give him an ecosystem in which his best attributes can make the organization rise? That was, I think, a longer odd. And feel free to correct me or to amend what I'm saying if you feel differently, because you're closer to it than I am. But I think that's part of what's worth celebrating is, yes, what Jared has done for the Lions, but also where the Lions are and what they've done to maximize the investment that they made in Jared. Maybe this wasn't accurate internally, but I bet you and I could go pull a whole bunch of press clippings saying that Jared was just a bridge to whatever quarterback the Lions were going to draft next, right? And that he was just a sound NFL starting caliber, 1 or 2 year Band-Aid. And he's been a whole lot more than that, as we well know.
Oh, you're exactly right on those things. And I think that's one of the reasons why the Lions coaching staff gets so much credit. And what other coaching staffs could do better is, so many times teams bring a quarterback in and want that quarterback to mesh their system. Well, maybe you should make sure the whole system meshes with your quarterback and kind of look at it from the other perspective, because that's when you're going to maximize everything. Well, there's no debate. You already said it. This was definitely a win-win trade between the Lions and the Rams. Rams won the Super Bowl. The Lions jump-started a rapid rebuild. Very much different than the Carolina Panthers-Chicago Bears trade that happened recently. But let's get to previewing the matchup here. The Rams came on really strong last season. They actually finished 8th in points scored with key contributions with Stafford coming back and a lot of newcomers contributing to this Rams roster. And so, were you surprised with the success of the Rams late last season when all these things started coming together and they became one of the hottest teams in the NFL?
Again, I feel like I'm giving you two answers for every question, and I do apologize for that. But it's easy to say in retrospect, yeah, I thought the Rams were better than 3-6. I saw them play totally competitive games against the Eagles and the Niners in September, who I regarded as the front runners to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl last year. So why wouldn't the Rams have been able to turn it around once one of the youngest rosters in the league matured, got settled into their roles, started to learn their strengths and the coaches to learn their do's and don'ts more perfectly? But I think what I remember more forcefully, Matthew, is being in Dallas going into the bye and seeing Matthew Stafford do his thumb and flying home from Jerry World, knowing that you had a long way to go, both in terms of record and that you might have to do it without your starting quarterback. And at that point, there was definitely a path that led to the Rams kind of moving on from that chapter of their championship history. And, you know, who knows if they're going to be in the quarterback drafting waters with this rookie class right now. I'm not saying like Caleb Williams would have been a Ram, but, you know, October on goes differently for the 2023 Los Angeles Rams. But once we knew that Matthew was going to avoid surgery, once we knew that he was going to miss the Green Bay game and then the bye and have a chance to be back after that, it gave the Rams all the cause they needed to stay in the fight. Now, did I see 7-1 from that point forward coming? No, that would have been a lot to ask. But did I know that they were at least as good as the 5th, 6th, 7th place team in the NFC head-to-head on any given Sunday? Yeah, that to me is what 2023 was about for the Rams, that no one will ever make the mistake of fading a Sean McVay, Matthew Stafford partnership again, no matter the circumstances around them.
Awesome answer. And you know, Lions fans can relate to the thumb injury. There was a season the Lions were doing great and Stafford hit his hand on the helmet of a Chicago Bear. And, you know, I knew the season was different after that because his hand was never the same. And even though the Lions, I believe, made the playoffs that year, they were out that first game and he just wasn't the same quarterback down the stretch due to injury. So the health of Matthew Stafford is usually very key and vital in any team he is on because he's that much difference of a game maker, usually compared to whoever the team has backing him up.
Well, Matthew, especially when you put it in the context of the season prior, he had to be shut down because of the, you know, the back neck injury contusion. And so I have said numerous times this offseason, I think there were realistic thoughts, if not conversations, the last 2 years, whether we'd seen Matthew Stafford play his last down as a Ram, either because of his health or, you know, the state of the Rams organization, which direction they would have to go, some of the choices they would have to make, his age, all these sorts of factors. I'm glad we're not at that point. I'm glad we're talking about how much longer can you extend Matthew Stafford's MVP caliber play and runway, extending his prime. But I think it's difficult to look back on 2023 for the Rams and not embrace the real possibility that they were this close to having to have some hard conversations about where do we go from here.
That makes a lot of sense because I think a lot of people 6 weeks into the season last year were starting to think that way about the Rams as well.
And I'll add one more thing. I know this is not where we're going, but because I know it's near and dear to your fan base's heart, I remember going to Lambeau Field and I mean, Jordan Love was a mess. Like LaFleur was saying, we're lost. And the Rams did not bring their best that day. And the Packers hit an inflection point and have never looked back. And now Jordan Love is one of the highest compensated quarterbacks in the game. So that's the razor thin edge that we all live on in the National Football League. Because if the Rams are right and they go in there and thump the Packers are probably not turning that thing around and making the playoffs. And Jordan Love is not as rich a man today, I would venture a guess.
Well, I don't think any Lions fans want me to say thank you for that, but that is what did happen, and the NFC North is looking pretty tough this season. Let me ask you, Rams.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you put together a final prediction for them? How good do you think this squad's going to be in 2024?
I will never again do it, and I don't mean to dismiss your question, but you know, coming off the Super Bowl in 21 with the goal of running it back and seeing the wheels come off what I thought was a very good team, a team that I actually thought had a chance to be better on paper than the one that won the championship the year before, to see that turn into a 12-loss season taught me something. And similarly, to have external expectations be so low last year and wind up with one of the most enjoyable non-championship seasons I've ever been a part of in any sport, I think was a really good kind of midlife, mid-career reminder that none of this stuff is predictable, and enjoy every step of it because it really is about the journey. To give you at least some semblance of a response to your question, which I understand is what this time of year is all about, I tend to now break it up into championship favorites, which I would not say the Rams are necessarily one. I think there are other, you know, clear front runners for the Lombardi Trophy this year. The next group is, have they done enough through their draft development, free agency decisions to put themselves in meaningful consideration for competing? Absolutely. I think the Rams are squarely right there. I have every reason to believe that if things go their way this year, that they will be a playoff team and can be dangerous. And then there's the category of teams that are not really playing for a division, much less a conference or a Super Bowl championship this season. And thankfully, neither the Lions nor the Rams are in that bucket as we start this year.
Okay, and that's what I was expecting you to say, is that they're a playoff caliber team. And like you, I agree, so many variables happen throughout a season. Ask the Cincinnati Bengals about the last year. And totally. That just shows you the differences you can see from season to season. But yes, so they're a team that was very hot the second half of the season. They've gotten some key contributions from some younger players. They've turned this roster around, I think, a little quicker than a lot of people were expecting. So let's start with the offense here. Is Stafford looking good in camp? You think he's ready to pick up where he left off last year?
So here's what I would say about the Stafford-McVay partnership, which has now been through four off seasons, right? His first in LA, and it's not just him, but I would lump Cooper Kupp and his health into this equation too. The one time that Cooper and Matthew and Sean have had a collective cohesive offseason, Cooper won the Triple Crown and the Rams won the Super Bowl. I'm not saying that's going to happen again just because they worked together in April of 2024. But I do think in the intervening time, Matthew was not right physically going into that 22 season. He was on a pitch count for all intents and purposes throughout OTAs and summer camp. And then Cooper got hurt in the midway point of that year, and he missed last year's offseason. For a tandem that's in as lockstep as I've ever seen, a passer and a receiver, it was at some time stunning to see the disconnect between those two on the field last year. Now, I understand the reasons why, and I appreciate Cooper grinding it out despite being less than 100%, but I think it bodes well for what the Rams are going to be capable of this year, that they've been in a better place physically and mentally to prepare for this season. I'll layer onto that the fact that there's nothing better I think an organization can have in the month of August going into September than a known identity. And the Rams, when they've been at their best, have had an offensive identity in which run and pass are married in a way that makes run look like pass pre-snap and pass look like run pre-snap. And you can't tell what they're going to do because they're playing the same people down in and down out. They get to dictate when they take the snap and against the defensive package that they're going to face. And that's where the Rams are now. Unlike the Jared Goff, Todd Gurley Rams, which was predicated, you know, on kind of more like an outside zone keeper game approach, hard play action. The Rams are now in the second iteration of what I call their McVay Stafford era, where he's not exclusively like a shotgun, full field read, spread it out quarterback. They've got him under center plenty. They've got him in the pistol as much as he's ever been. And they're even incorporating some shotgun run. Why? Because they've built an offensive line in front of him that I think is as good guard to guard as maybe he's ever had in his career. And the Rams have a chance to, if they can stay healthy, put together one of their best offensive lines in my 9 years with the team. And then Kyren Williams, and I'll add Blake Corum for the sake of your audience, his backup out of Michigan, give them a downhill run identity that I think suits Matthew really well, and that I think travels and plays well in December and January, where maybe the first iteration of Sean McVay's Rams offense fell just a touch short. But that's really nitpicking. But you see where I'm going here. They unlocked something in the midway point of the last season as part of that 7-1 finish, where they can go toe to toe and they can maul you. And like someone like Jonah Jackson being brought in free agency tells you everything you need to know about the disposition in terms of the plan the Rams want to bring back for this year.
Yeah, well, you went right to the next point, which was the run game complements Matthew Stafford really well. And Kyren Williams had over 1,100 yards on the ground last year. He was a gem that you guys found. You've drafted Blake Corum. So that's a pretty incredible looking tandem right there. How do you see their workload working out between the two of them and splitting time?
That's how I know the Rams liked what they found in themselves at the midway point of last year. To draft another running back in the third round who is as close to a clone of Kyren as you could find. If I'm reading tea leaves, to me that says, hey, we get that most running backs don't make it through a 17-game season unscathed. But if something were to happen to Kyren Williams, the starter this year, how close can we get to not missing a beat? And I think Blake Corum, because of his skill set, his body type, the program he played in, the coaching he's received, his personality gives them that opportunity to still be that team, even if 23 is not in the backfield. Now, I hope he is. He's clearly the starter, but I think Corum is as close to ready as a rookie as I've ever seen a running back in Sean McVay's system.
Wow, that's some quick progress there by Corum. But again, I think a lot of Michigan fans wouldn't be surprised to hear that based on how well he looked at the collegiate level. Well, let's go to wide receivers then. You know, Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua, they're the headliners, but there's a lot of talent on this receiving corps from what I can tell. I mean, you've got Tutu Atwell, and then you've got Jordan, I think it's Whittington. I saw him in the preseason. You guys seem to have a pretty deep receiving corps. What are you expecting out of this receiving corps this year?
I hope that we're having the same chat next year calling Jordan Whittington like a poor man's Puka Nacua. And what I mean by that is I don't think he's going to set rookie records for receptions and receiving yards this year, in part because he's not going to have to if things go well for the Rams. A lot was asked of Puka last year. I mean, a lot. And only looking back on it can you see how well set up he was for success, in part because of some misfortune, in part because Cooper Kupp is in street clothes throughout the entire offseason program. That means Puka got a crash course in Matthew Stafford, Sean McVay. And that means he earned the trust of a kingmaker in this game in nine. You know as well as I do, if Matthew trusts you, you're going to get targets and you're going to put up big numbers. And that was Puka last year as a rookie. So I think the Rams have every reason to believe that this is as deep and talented a receiving room as they've had in the McVay era, which is saying a lot because they've had Sammy Watkins. They've had Brandon Cooks. They've had some really good ones. They've had OBJ for a partial season that led to a championship. But in terms of knowing the skill sets that they need to run 11 personnel and still get downhill on you in their running game, to not just have like true X, Y, and Z receivers, but to have receivers who are ready, willing, and able to fold into your blocking surface and root out a linebacker or a safety so that you can be the run game we just described, that takes a unique body type, that takes a unique disposition. It's what Cooper Kupp will never get enough credit for his Triple Crown season. But he and Robert Woods is like kind of the standard bearers that set up this model that Puka Nacua has followed on, and I think Jordan Whittington will fold right into. Now, raw nerve for Rams fans here. Tyler Higbee clearly not going to be ready to go as their starting tight end because of what happened in last year's wild card game. But I think bringing Colby Parkinson down from Seattle has the potential to be one of the most savvy veteran signings in this free agent period. It's not something the Rams typically do. The fact that they did it aggressively tells me, one, they knew that Tyler was not going to be ready to start this season, which he isn't. And two, it's hard to make an early impact as a tight end in this league. It really is. So they tried to find an opportunity to bring in an underrated blocker who brings elite size to their huddle and maybe helps them convert in the red zone at a clip like they did last season, and gives them a chance to be as good, maybe even better at the tight end position collectively with Davis Allen compared to where they were a year ago. Tyler Higbee, just not to get too deep in the weeds here, But he was like a mid-major pass catching tight end. He was a big receiver in college who they asked to come in and play the NFL position at an intense level. I mean, he hardly ever gets a snap off, and he has been Deadpool for this Rams organization during his career. I've seen him injure every limb that he has and walk off with every injury known to man, and he just keeps coming back for more, which I think is a real testament to him. They're going to miss him for the front end of the season, but I think they've done well to try and backfill what he brought.
That makes a lot of sense, and it does seem like they brought in a lot of weapons to help fill that void. Well, the Lions and the Rams are going to have a big matchup here. Let's jump over to the defense. Aaron Donald retired, but it looks like Kobe Turner is ready for some big things in just his second season. How's the Rams defense looking overall with some of the changes that have gone on there?
Well, I want to be confident and I want to be boisterous, Matthew, but I know the preseason lies. And so I'm wary of the results the Rams got this summer and got in the preseason. There have been numerous junctures where I've thought, this is unexpected. Whether it's training camp or joint practices or preseason games, like, why does the defense look like it's ahead of the offense? Why is the defense playing with so much confidence, so much energy, such sure tackling, such savvy decision-making, such clutch play, like red zone takeaways and fourth down stops? Like, this is abnormal for a group that was supposed to be, you know, kind of building the plane midair this season on defense because of the loss that you mentioned. And I've probably gone too far in this answer without stating the obvious, which is Aaron Donald will never be replaced, not this year, not next year, not ever. He was one of one. But if the approach is to throw numbers at the problem, I'm not sure you could have done any better than the Rams have done. Not just this year, but the last couple of years in anticipation of this reality. Kobe Turner, huge win. Huge, huge win. Tyler Davis, this year's class, a lot of upside there. Bobby Brown, on the nose, in a contract year, has to step up big time. And then if they really did hit in this draft with their top two defensive picks out of Florida State, that puts them a year, maybe multiple years ahead of schedule in the daunting task of replacing probably the greatest player in franchise history.
All right. And I guess, like you said, you never truly know until you actually get out on the field. But it seems like they have done a lot of things that gives you some confidence that when they go in this year, they've got something to work with. Well, let's kind of talk about the atmosphere a minute. You know, much was made of that atmosphere, you know, in the playoffs when the Rams came back to Detroit in January about Stafford not getting the love, the boo birds coming out. You know, his wife even commented on some of it. And first off, let me just assure you, no Detroit Lions fans were booing his children, okay? Well, I don't think people boo the kids. But, you know, you're enemy number one when you come in when there's that much on the line. And we love him, and I think we're always going to love him. And there will be a great thought of celebrating him after the fact. But Let me ask you, you know, is too much being made of the atmosphere that he stepped into? Or does A plus B plus C equal what it did? And it just all kind of made sense. I mean, the Lions hadn't won a playoff game in so long. The guy standing between them and the playoff game was their former quarterback. And there's just so much on the line. You're just focused on the job at hand.
So let me try and draw a parallel to, it seems like we're about the same age. I don't want to make any assumptions, but like I grew up in the Jordan era of NBA basketball, right? And some of those great matchups, let's just say with the Detroit Pistons. Yep. And no one ever did a better job of seeing what he needed to see and hearing what he needed to hear to give himself that competitive advantage than Michael Jordan. And so I was brought up in a sports culture atmosphere paradigm where whether it's real or imagined, whether it's deserved or undeserved, use it to your benefit, right? So I'm not speaking for Matthew or the Staffords or Sean McVay or the Rams in this instance, but like, if any part of them took offense to that or wants to get back against Ford Field this week one Sunday Night Football, so be it. If that's what gets you the extra rep in the weight room or the extra wind sprint or the extra hour in the film study, that's what sports and competition is all about. And I do believe what you said, that when enough water goes under the bridge, he's going to remember his time with the Lions fondly, and the Lions are going to give him the flowers that he deserves for everything he did for that city and organization, and all will be well there. In the meantime, let's run this rivalry back as much as we can while we still got it, because it's awesome. It's at full tilt. This is great, great stuff. If they want to boo him again, so be it. If they want to give him an ovation, so be it. Like, this is gold. This is why NBC and the NFL wanted it again as soon as they could possibly order it. Because Rams and Lions is good, don't get me wrong, but it's premier because of the Goff-Stafford storyline. And it's premier because of what happened last year. So I get why they couldn't wait until week five or until December or until January. They couldn't make it a potential NFC championship game preview, especially as much as quarterbacks are getting hurt these days. Let's face it. They had to cash this check while they could when they knew it would clear, because week one is that opportunity.
Yeah, that actually surprised me that they waited so late for the Lions and 49ers to schedule up this season so late due to those things. Yeah, as you said, that competitive advantage, whatever you can get to fuel you, I 100% believe that. And I honestly think that's what Stafford was doing when you heard the mic'd up part of him running on the field and stuff. That made a lot of sense. But you said you were at that game. So let me ask you, what were your thoughts? What was your reaction to the Jared Goff chant, which has gone viral in multiple sports stadiums around Michigan?
Well, thanks for following up on that, because I think that's the other critical element. I'm certainly not equipped to speak for anyone in that city or in that fan base, but was it not a show of loyalty for the guy who was going to be behind center for them that day? Like, that was saying, hey, the guy wearing Honolulu blue is ours today and next year. And, you know, and as long as he's wearing a Lions helmet, and no matter what you've done for us previously, we need to know, or he needs to know, that that's how we feel today. And when you see what Dan Campbell and others around the team are saying pre, during, and post game, like, that checks out. That makes sense to me. And I appreciate that loyalty that Jared has earned and engendered and deserves. Like, that's great. So I don't know if I necessarily answered your question in the spirit in which it was intended, but if it was fake, if it was phony, if it was just trying to pile on Matthew Stafford, I think we would feel about it differently than if it's like literally heartfelt belief that the Lions have the right guy for this moment in their history.
Oh, no. Well, yeah, my intention was, you know, how impressive, how incredible was something like that? Have you seen chants like that at Rams games for a player?
Man, I'm trying to think what the equivalent would be. Nothing comes to mind. No, nothing comes to mind. I mean,
that was the direction I was kind of going. It wasn't a fakeness about it at all. I think it was very genuine. I just thought it was pretty darn incredible how everybody got behind this guy who many had thought his best days were behind him. And it's continued throughout, you know, I believe it happened at a Red Wings game. I know it's happened at Tigers games. And it's just
happened.
I mean,
at the draft.
I was out. What's that?
It happened during the draft. So the Rams are having a draft party because they finally have a first round pick for the first time since Jared. They end up drafting another guy named Jared Verse at 19 overall out of Florida State, if luck would have it. But lo and behold, where is that draft being held? Detroit. And who does the commissioner turn it over to at the podium? Jared Goff. It was just like this incredible symmetry, which, again, to go back to, I think someday you and I and a lot of people will say, I remember where I was when this game was played. And even though it was only a wild card game, it's going to go down as one of the most indelible memories. Is because, yes, nowadays quarterbacks are getting traded in a way that franchise quarterback never had previously. But what will always set that moment and that game apart is it was a 1-1 from both teams being traded for each other, still with a lot of runway to go in their careers. Like, that's different than just Joe Montana playing for the Chiefs at the end of his career, right? Like, that is really, really different. And it's tough to, maybe it'll happen again, but it's tough to envision the stars aligning for it to ever happen again in that way.
Yeah, I know it was just a wild card game, but while we were at the game, I said to my wife, this is going to be one of the craziest, and it is one of the craziest game atmospheres I've ever been to. And it will probably be one of the greatest sports memories I have attending. And I've attended an NCAA championship when my college team was in the finals and we won it. I've been to a Stanley Cup, but this was just, there was, like you said, there was something unique. There was so much energy and so much on the line at that time too, that, you know, I'm getting goosebumps just talking about it again right now. So, well, we're running low on time here. So let's get to these last few questions. What's it going to take for the Rams to win this season opener against the Lions?
I would say some healing between now and Sunday, September the 8th. whenever it is, because unfortunately, whether it's Matthew Stafford with a little bit of a hamstring tug or Puka Nacua with a bit of a knee issue, three members of the projected starting offensive line, they've not all been intact the way they drew it up probably since the opening day of training camp. And there's still great optimism that they can get there by week one. But let's face it, week one is not the wild card. It's not the Super Bowl. And so I think the Rams will err on the side of caution and play the long game. So it's one of those. And the reason I start there is because this is one of those matchups where I think the healthiest team should be favored. I think the team that brings the best roster to the table on game night should be favored. It's that close and they're both that capable. And I know there's some areas of concern in Detroit health-wise as well. But like when I look back on it, like that's where Laporta being able to dress that night made a huge deal. Like how can you overstate that when that was very much in doubt during game week? I sure do wish the Rams had won, but knowing that Kyron Williams had injured his hand, I'm not sure the Rams would have been able to do as much damage in the playoffs as the Lions went forward and were able to do health-wise. So I can give you something trite like turnover margin or things like that, but I genuinely believe that with the leaders and the coaches that both of these organizations have, with the talented rosters that they both have, this would be a 7-game series and it would be 4-3. I just don't know which direction it's going to break. And I wouldn't be surprised if this isn't the if this is the first of twice, two times that we see the Lions and the Rams this season. I really believe that.
That is very possible. I was going to ask you next what the Lions need to do to beat the Rams, but it sounds like it's probably the same exact way as far as, you know, the health of the roster and how close these teams are going to be.
Yeah. So, I mean, in one direction, it's very easy for me to say, which is, you know, disrupt Matthew's pocket as much as they can. Like if the Rams do not have all five starting offensive linemen the way that they had hoped to, how much can you capitalize on that? Who's going to be put on front street against that pass rush in a silent count environment? Like, you know, that battle at right edge, right tackle, like helped decide the wild card matchup. We all know how that went down. Can the Rams get right in that category in the critical down and distance this year, or will the Lions win that? And then in the other direction, again, think about what the Rams are trying to do here on defense, not just replacing Aaron Donald, but you got a first year defensive coordinator in Chris Shula, who I'm very bullish about, but you've got questions at every level of your defense. You're walking in to face, these are your first five opponents. The Lions may be the best offense in the league. The Arizona Cardinals with a healthy Kyler Murray and the best receiver in the draft, who really turned a corner last year. Home to the San Francisco 49ers, who if it's not the Lions, probably the best offense in the league. And then you got to deal with the Chicago Bears and the number one overall pick at quarterback and the Green Bay Packers. Those are the five games before the bye for this retooling Rams defense. That is a gauntlet. So we're going to know what life after Aaron Donald looks like in a hurry. And it starts with the showdown against the Lions.
Well, JB, again, thank you so much. This has been a lot of fun. I really appreciate you making the time and giving all the insights.
Nice Jared Goff cow bobblehead behind you there. That'll be one of my takeaways. Appreciate you thinking of me. Hope it's a great season for you.
All right, will do. You have a good one, JB. Thanks so much. Folks, this interview with JB went longer than expected. So like back in the day when you were watching a TV show over the airwaves, we have to throw up one of those to be continued signs. We'll have part two of the season opener preview tomorrow. I can't promise you a Scooby-Doo ending, but Coach James and I will tie everything together. Thank you so much for tuning in, folks. You can find more episodes and content at notthesameoldlions.com. If you're listening on YouTube, please hit that like button. And while you're at it, subscribe. Tell your friends about the show. Look for us on social media. And until next time, stay gritty, my friends.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.